lesson this morning. Our lesson this morning is out of Proverbs chapter 19, verses 15 to 23, Proverbs with directions on righteous living. Where Proverbs 10, 1 to 15, 33 contrasts wise, upright lives with foolish, wicked ones. Proverbs 16, 1 to 22, 16 focuses mainly on the upright life, and it guides us on how to live righteously in many realms of experience. We thus view each proverb in this section to draw out its deeper insight that Proverbs 1, 5 to 6 implies exists. It's interesting that Proverbs 1, 5 and 6 that indicates that even a wise man will still gain insight from the Proverbs. And it would make sense, since Solomon was given more wisdom than any other person in history, aside, of course, from the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who is God incarnate, then the information that he provides is very deep. And it's like an onion skin. You keep peeling the layers away. And there's always room for us to learn from studying the Proverbs. So we're going to view each proverb in this section to draw out its insight. Let's look to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get started this morning. Father, we thank you for your love and your grace. We thank you for the Word of God and for the indwelling Spirit of God. We thank you for the opportunity of serving you this morning and fellowshipping around the Word of God. We ask that we would understand it and be able to use it for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, let me read the passage and then we'll look at it. Proverbs chapter 19, beginning at verse 15. Slothfulness casts into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. He who keeps the commandment keeps his own soul, but he who despises his ways shall die. He that has pity upon the poor lends to the Lord, and that which he has given will he repay him again. Chasten your son while there is hope, and let not your soul or your life principle spare for his crying. A man of great wealth shall suffer punishment, or great wrath rather, shall suffer the punishment or the fine. For if you delivered him, yet you must have to do it again. You must do it again. Hear counsel and receive instruction, that you may be wise in your latter end. There are many devices in a man's heart, nevertheless the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. The desire of a man is his kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar. The fear of the Lord tends to life, and he who has it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with calamity. A slothful man hides his hand in his bosom and will not do so much as bring it to his mouth again. I got to stop at verse 23. I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah. I thought he was going to be here too, and I'm just. Yeah, okay. No problem. No problem. That's all right. No problem. Proverbs 19:15 teaches that sluggishness causes a deep sleep, tardema, to fall. And the life principle, nepesh, and nepesh is the same word that is used in Genesis 2:7, where man was made a nephesh with physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual life. And the life principle of the slack goes hungry. So laziness yields poverty, so we must stay diligently active to stay financially solvent. This actually has application to what's going on right now. Even when we've expected missionaries to come, I've always gone ahead and prepared. In fact, if for some reason the Fords can't make up here this morning, maybe they had a car accident or maybe something got mixed up, I got a sermon ready to go, all right? And so during the week when the missionaries are planning to come, I keep on trucking away, I keep working away and preparing these messages. And then what happens next week, if the Fords are going to be here for the worship service, then what happens next week, then I've got a little bit of spare time. And what I'm going to do is go ahead and get things ready for the VBS sign, because I want to upstage the VBS sign and get it ready so the next year, instead of having to repaint it, they just put numbers in, kind of like what we have up here on the board. And the dates and the numbers can just slip in there. So this is a passage that the Lord has taught me. Anytime you've got time, you better use it, because eventually you're going to need it. Now, if I hadn't prepared expecting that the Fords were going to be here, then I'd be up here this morning without a lesson, and then it would be a lot more awkward. So that's something that I've learned in my own life to do, and I would recommend doing it. Bob Buffard used to have a sign when he was a printer at AMOC in Olcott, New York. A little sign on his wall I thought was tremendous. Why put it off for tomorrow? Do it today. And I thought, that's a great little sign. Because so many times the thing is, let's put it off till tomorrow. Well, all you do is back up your tomorrows. If you can do it today, do it today. And then you feel better about yourself because you've been more productive, you got it out of the way, it's one less thing to worry about. So we need to avoid sluggishness in our lives. Verse 16 claims that he who heeds the commandment, or the mitzvah, guards his life principle, the nefesh. But he who has contempt for his ways will die. If we respect our own way of life, we have to heed proper authorities or pay the price of an early death by them in punishment. Now this goes not only for heeding like government authorities, the police, patrol officers, and so forth. This goes for heeding authorities if we're in a school system, heeding our parents, our Sunday school teachers, anybody who's an authority over us. Because if we don't heed authority figures at our level, eventually it gets higher and higher. I've noticed something when I was in high school and going on to college and so forth. When kids would end up disrespecting their parents, eventually they disrespected their teachers, and then they disrespected the principal. Inevitably, they would be stopped by the police officers because they weren't respecting the law. And they would show contempt for the police officers, and to such an extent that they'd get arrested or get into trouble, or they might try to draw a gun on the police officer and get shot and killed. So, you know, disrespect for authority is lethal in the long term. You might not find it immediately, but it will happen in the long term. So the point is, respect authority, true authority that is over us. Proverbs 19:17 asserts that one lends to Yahweh, and Yahweh is the I Am, it's the name for God by which he revealed himself to Moses at the burning bush. One lends to Yahweh who shows favor to the poor and the weak, for he, that's Yahweh, will recompense him for his deed. In other words, it is never wasteful to show favor to a person who is in need, for God sees the favor and God will reward it. Now, the poor may not be able to reimburse us, but see, God watches. He watches what we do with our gifts. And if we give to a person who really needs help and they can't really repay us, God watches over us and God repays us. This is a truth that is found even in the New Testament. God reimburses us. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, I repeat this passage every morning in the introduction, how God recompenses us. And it's true. In fact, I've stated this before in my own life. When I've given to meet the needs of others around me, God reimburses me with a gain that I've never gained through investing in the stock market. I mean, God's gifts are absolutely astounding and abounding. So the point is, if it's never wasteful to show favor to the needy, the motivation is help the needy. Be motivated to help them, because you enter into a partnership with God, and God will bless you for it. Proverbs 19:18 teaches that discipline, you need to discipline your son. This is the word for spank or whatever. For in it there is hope. Do not let your life principle be responsible for his death. Now the life principle, nefesh, refers to the emotional, the mental, the physical, and so forth. This proverb indicates that Solomon was aware that it's very uncomfortable for us as parents to punish our children. I remember when I was a child, my parents would say, well, this hurts me a lot more than you, and I could never understand that because I was the one that was getting whooped. But when I became a parent and I recognized the pain inside, the reluctance of, you know, punishing your own child, how painful that is. But the proverb here encourages, go ahead with it, because if you don't, the sin that is in the child will just take over, and eventually it'll destroy him. So we have to remember that in each one of our precious children, these little children, there's a sin nature that unfortunately they inherited from us. We know what our own sin natures are like. So what we need to do is to go ahead and have the courage to follow through with consistent discipline. Now, obviously, I've heard of situations where people beat children excessively, or they lock them in closets for days and so forth. You know, that's cruelty. We're not supposed to do that. The punishment should be something that is designed to teach only, and to instruct so that the child is highly motivated not to go in that direction again, but to change his direction and go somewhere else. And discipline needs to be done in love And the child needs to understand that he's still accepted as a person and loved as a person. So, but go ahead and discipline your son or your child, for in it there is hope. Do not let your emotions or whatever be responsible for his death. So punishing your child is hard, but essential for him to live a long life. Proverbs 19:19 claims that a man of great wrath will bear the fine. And the fine here is the cost for his wrath. If you deliver him, you will still need to do so again. In other words, if there's a person who has an uncontrollable temper, an uncontrollable temper is something that causes an individual to get into trouble. And if you deliver him from it, all you do is enable his temper. So if there's a person who has an uncontrollable temper, you need to let him go ahead and pay the price so that you can avoid doing it again. Now, you can apply this to other areas. Sometimes a person is involved in drug abuse. Sometimes they're involved in getting into trouble with the law on the highway or so forth. Well, go ahead and let them pay the price. I'll never forget one time one of my relatives, one of their children, got into trouble with the police. I think they were 5 or 10 miles over the speed limit going through a certain area. And so the father of this girl came in and was with her when she was standing in front of the judge. And the judge turned to the father and said, "Well, Dad, what do you think I ought to do?" And the dad says, "You know what? I stand fully behind whatever you say." In other words, if this child needs to get it, you know, go ahead and throw the fine. I don't mind it at all. So the judge, you know, he was very fair, but he went ahead and gave a fine and so forth. And the child had to come up with it. But this gal never did it again. And I thought that was really wise of the father. He wasn't trying to protect the child from the legal situation. He wanted the child to learn not to do the speeding again. So go ahead, judge. If you want to throw the book at her, that's fine. I'll support you. And I thought that was really neat. So don't be afraid to go ahead and have the discipline, the correction, and so forth. Proverbs 19:20 asserts that we must heed advice and accept correction in order that we might be wise in our latter end. Heeding advice and accepting correction will produce wisdom. So we best take our medicine and do both of these things. Now this is putting the shoe in the other foot. This is the person who is in the subordinate position where he's done wrong or needs to be corrected. So if we are in the position where we need to do the punishment and we need to carry through with it. On the other hand, if we are the one receiving the punishment, we need to value it. Because if we pay attention to what we're being corrected, if we heed the advice, and of course there's good advice or there's bad advice. We're talking about heeding good advice from authority figures. If we take our medicine, then we are going to end up being wise. And if we end up being wise, we're going to be much, much further ahead in life. So the best thing to do is accept correction. Not long ago, I was speaking to a medical doctor about problems I was having. I was eating certain foods and getting the problems. And the doctor said, "From what you've described to me, that's very interesting." He said, "You're not eating your food. I can tell you're not eating your food slowly enough. You're rushing through it. And because of that, the saliva is not mixing with your food, and it's not able to set the high starch and the high sugar, start the digestion process. So when you're gulping it down very quickly, it hits your stomach, and you've got all the starch and all the sugar hitting you very fast. It's too much for you at your age with your pancreas and everything to handle, and that's why you're getting into these problems." So he said, "You need to slow down and chew your food." When I was a child, I was told that over and over, and it never sunk in. You know, I just like to take, I love food, and so, boom, it goes in a hurry. Well, finally, when I turned 64, you have to listen to what the doctor says, and listen to what your parents have been trying to tell you for 60 years. So I started doing that, and it made a world of difference. I just, I can eat those foods, maybe not too often in a week, maybe twice a week, but I have to chew it slowly. Breads, muffins, things like that. Mix it thoroughly with the saliva and then swallow it. Then the saliva already starts the breaking down process and it doesn't hit your system so hard and your body's a lot more able to deal with it and to burn it over a longer period of time than all of a sudden you know, your body have to handle it once. So the point is, I listened to what the doctor said. It was a bit embarrassing, but I took my medicine. I thought, okay, I'm going to learn to eat my food more slowly now. So it's worthwhile, and it'll help you. In fact, you'll live a lot longer. Proverbs 19:21 teaches that many are the plans in the heart of a nobleman, but the purpose of Yahweh, it is in the emphatic position. Normally, you don't have a pronoun written separate from the verb. The pronoun is understood within the way the spelling of the verb is in Hebrew, but when you have the pronoun written separate from it, it's emphasized. So the purpose of God, the purpose of God, that is, will stand. So even leaders, like a nobleman in this particular situation, even leaders have to align their plans to God's will if they want them to be established. Boy, isn't that true. Many times we've met as a board in the church, in board meetings, and we sometimes might make a decision, and then events will occur in the next week or two that, you know, really throws it up in the air, or we really don't know what to do, and so wisely our board chairman says, why don't we table it? We don't have to make this decision right away. Let's pray about it. And sure enough, within 8-10 days, boom, something comes through and the Lord demonstrates his hand and he solves it. And often the solution that God has is something we didn't even have in mind at all. So the plans of God are immutable. They're unchangeable, and they're way above our ability to think. So every plan that we make, we really need to hold at arm's length and say, God, here it is, check it out, correct it, modify it, whatever, here we go, and then go at it. Because God's plans are always the best plans. And anyway, God's plans are the only plans that are going to last. So we need to make our plans always with the condition in the back of our mind that it needs to be cleared through the Lord. Proverbs 19:22 claims that what is desired, and this is in the context form, so you interpret it, you translate it, the desire of a man of low rank. Adam is the man of low rank, where Ish is the man of high rank. What is desired that of, in other words, of a man of low rank, is his loyal love, chesed, and it is more wholesome than to be to be poor than to be a nobleman and a liar. So loyal love and consistent truthfulness in one of low rank gives him a better life than a high rank without these qualities. You and I both know stories, long stories, of people who have climbed in rank, senators, you know, congressmen even, or presidents, who, when it's found out that they were actually lying, all of a sudden they lose credibility on a huge scale. On the other hand, we have a lot more respect for the little guy out here who's running a mom and pop store, and he's very honest, he's very upright, and he's loyal to his customers, he never lets them down, he always backs up the sales that he has with guarantees and whatnot. That person has a lot more respect than a person of high rank who doesn't tell the truth or isn't consistently telling the truth. So the point is, always, always seek to be loyal and always seek to be loving or faithful in our commitments, not only in the business world, but in relationships that we have with other people. And then Proverbs 19:23 asserts that the fear of Yahweh, and this would be the respect of Yahweh, the word fear in reference to the Lord has two connotations. It has the connotation of, yes, on the one hand, being afraid of punishment if you don't do that which is right. So it carries that connotation. But it carries one of accountability to one who is also a loving father. So it's just like a dad. Yeah, you don't want to get on the bad side of your dad because you can get in trouble. On the other hand, your dad is there to help you. He's there to protect you. He's there. He has his best interest, your best interests in mind. So that's what that means, the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord leads to life. And one, in the word literally, restfully spends the night. The word loon, and that might actually be where we get the word lunar, which refers to the moon and so forth, but it's a Hebrew word loon, to spend the night restfully. One restfully spends the night satisfied, sabea. He will not be visited with calamity, distress, or harm. The Hebrew word ra refers to calamity externally and harm. It also refers to distress, what bothers you with inside in your heart. So respect for the Lord leads to a life of restful, satisfied, secured blessings. So we need to revere the Lord as a very top priority in our lives. The reason for that is when we respect the Lord, we have a tendency to listen to him. And when we listen to him, we obey him. And when we obey him, he blesses us. When we don't respect the Lord, we have a tendency to tune him out. If we tune him out, then we're not paying attention to his word. Then eventually we're going to disobey his word. And then we wonder what happens when he punishes or he withdraws his blessing. So the reverence for the Lord is very, very important. This is something that is greatly needed in our culture today. There's been a tremendous departure from reverence for God. This building was built back in a time when the way they built the building was to demonstrate reverence for God. When you come into a building like this, the ceiling is tall. The steeple outside is very tall. And that was by design. The Puritan forefathers wanted you to feel small in the presence of Almighty God, because God is great. And that's why they built the church buildings way up tall. Today, we're much more practical. We say, well, it's better to heat, less costly to heat, we lower the ceiling and so forth, like we did in Fellowship Hall. But there's something that is lost in that. I'm not complaining about that. But our forefathers had a tremendous reverence for God. And the fear of the Lord is something that they latched onto, and they understood it very, very well. And that's one reason why I believe the Lord blessed them. So we need to respect the Lord. Love him, but fear him in the sense of punishment as well. Respecting the Lord, because it will lead to a life of restful, satisfied, secured blessings, so that we need not, so we need to revere him as a top priority. So may we align with God's fixed moral order in each one of these realms for blessing. Now, what I've done in the past and will continue to do this morning, we turn it over to you if you have questions or feedback in regards to any of these issues. We're going to open it up now to you. And if there's dead air space, then I'll go ahead and I'll finesse some of these points that we've covered a little.